wins another one.
Redemption for Golden State. One of the great playoff runs of all time is complete. The Warriors are NBA champions again.
This is the Sports Sense Podcast on Sin. Yes, hello all, and welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Sense Podcast here on Sin. I'm your host, Ben Pascuzzi, and alongside me, we have Tom Parry.
Yes, indeed. Hello, Ben. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
Oh, yeah, I'm not too bad. So this is really strange. We've just come from Studio 2, which is the FM studio, and they're in the podcast studio recording. So,
yes, they're in the podcast studio. Fortunately, we couldn't do it on our usual Sunday time, so we've compromised, and we've been able to do it today. So anyway, we've got a pretty big podcast headed for you today. We've got Olympics, cricket, NBA, a bit of the Commonwealth Games, and some tennis, and potentially even a little bit of AFL. But we'll get stuck into the Olympics, because the Winter Olympics are happening at the moment, and we've got a couple of good debatable topics coming up. So, first up, with the growing popularity supposedly of the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics declining in popularity, are we going to say that this is true?
Well now, so yes, this is something I heard from a presenter on another radio show I do, and he was of the belief that the Winter Olympics in Australia particularly were growing in popularity, whereas people were taking less interest in the Summer Olympics. Now, I was a bit apprehensive about this, because the way I see it, we're far more interested in the summer sports than we are the winter ones. I mean, that's, you know, you can see by the number of Summer Olympians we have. But I think the increase in popularity we're seeing is probably because of the time zones that we're currently experiencing, because Korea is currently, it is 2 hours behind us, but because of that, we're able to get prime time coverage of the Olympics. So that's why we're seeing an increase of viewership there. And we've also had some growth in the number of Winter Olympians who are participating, and we've seen that interest sort of slowly grow over time. So I can sort of see where he's coming from. But in my opinion, I think that the Summer Olympics are still the more popular sport, and they will continue to be. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I actually agree with the person you listen to on radio. And yeah, I do believe actually the Winter Olympics are growing in slowly they're growing in popularity in this country. And obviously, yeah, the Summer Olympics are on a bit of a decline. So I actually agree. But yeah, it's interesting, because the amount of sport that we're able to access now, we're able to see all these world-class athletes, you know, in your traditional winter sports, I guess you could say, like, you know, your basketball, your footy, your soccer, cricket, whatever. We're a hell of a lot more interested in that per se than like your normal athletics events and these Olympics. And never, don't get me wrong, the Summer Olympics will still, always be ahead of the Winter Olympics, definitely in this country. But yeah, I do agree with that in terms of the Winter Olympics are growing in popularity, and the Summer Olympics, unfortunately, are declining, even though they have been the staple for over 100 years. But yeah, just the way of the world, unfortunately.
Yes, I think a lot of that popularity is just the novelty of the event, because it's something we rarely see on Australian television. We're bombarded with football and cricket and athletics on occasion. So to see someone slide down a hill on a bobsled or jump over whatever it is in skis, it's just fascinating to watch for most people, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is. We'll stick with the Summer Olympics. And question here I've got for you, Tom, is can the Olympics as we know it survive another 20 years?
Well, that is a good question, Ben. So I can see where you're coming from, because the last bid for the Winter Olympics they had, which was 3 years ago now, it's for the... it was for the Summer Olympiad in 2020, and they had both Los Angeles and Paris bidding for it, because no other cities would dare to. It's like really expensive to run. So what the Olympic community did was they gave the 2020 ones to Los Angeles and the 2024 ones to Paris. So it's sort of shared between the two there. And that had me thinking, actually, you know, can the event as we know it survive? Hey, can we get all of these sports together in the one place, all these athletes at the one time performing all these sports over a 2-week period? And in my opinion, I don't think we can. I don't think it's sustainable. So maybe in the next few years, we might see them sort of balance out the event. So maybe they could have an Olympic athletic event in such a city and the swimming Olympic events in another city at another point in time. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I personally, everyone loves the Olympics. As much as we want to hate on it or whatever, it's still such a staple and such a tradition in sport to have. But yeah, with the way the world's going and the high demand, the high costs it does have, and the toll it takes to host an Olympics, a Summer Olympics game, I don't think it's actually going to survive another 20 years. And I actually do like that suggestion. So it'll probably be just, rather than have everyone come together in that one country, it may be just that you have all these finals at separate venues potentially. But yeah, unless the costs dramatically decline or the interest spikes up, it's very unlikely it'll survive for the next 20, 30 years, let's say. So unfortunately, I think that's my stance, but yeah, I'm not sure what else to add.
I forgot to mention there also the next Winter Olympics, so that'll be 2022, are going to be held in Beijing, which is the city where it rarely snows. And what they're planning on doing is have all the Alpine events like away, far away from the city, and then keep Beijing for like the speed skating and the figure skating and what have you there.
Yeah, it's a huge distance if they do that. Final question on the Olympics, and we're going back to the Winter Olympics. And Tom, are you happy with the Channel 7's coverage of the Winter Games?
As for the coverage itself, I am pretty happy with it. I think they've got a good group of people commentating on it and things like that.
You a fan of Basil?
Basil, yes, I do like Basil. Also, in the long jumping one, the one Eddie the Eagle did, they had Dirk Nanners commentating.
Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah. So they had a cricket commentator at the Winter Olympics, Dirk which was Nanners. Interesting. But the thing that I was really disappointed about the Olympics was how they would sort of move the events away to 7 Mate, which is Channel 73, and then keep Channel 7 for like My Kitchen Rules, the news, the chase and what have you. So like we saw with the Big Bash 2 weeks ago when we last recorded, they're sort of moving the principal events away from what should be the main channel to make way for these silly reality shows, which we don't show an interest in at all. So, overall, I'm pretty happy with it. They've got a good selection of events. I would like to see more curling. I'm actually really fond of that. Just like lawn bowls on ice.
Yeah.
I do love lawn bowls. It's great.
Lawn bowls is an underrated sport.
It really is. Overall, pretty happy.
Yeah. Obviously, I dislike and disgust the fact that any channel will just offload like a sporting event or any major event and just chuck on their flagship programs, I guess you could say. So big no from me. I don't like that at all. But in terms of the overall coverage, I think it's been pretty good because obviously they're showing pretty much all the Australian events that are taking place. But they also, you forgot to mention, they do have the app. So yes, if you want to watch specific events, so they don't, like with the tennis, if you want to watch a specific court, you can go on the app and watch that. And that is the future. So they've done well with the app, so obviously you can pick whatever event you want to watch, and you can watch it. So, yeah, their coverage overall has been great, but obviously you see the point in doing it, but it's just, I don't know, is it morally right? Who knows?
Well, I guess they are providing it to us for free. I mean, we've got to remember that, but it is putting us at a disadvantage. I mean, this sounds like first world problems, I know, but we are being put at a disadvantage if we're being asked to change the channel and then change it back again. And, you know,
it's so troublesome.
It really is. I mean, and as well as that, it's being filmed in HD. I mean, you know,
hate that. We can talk about this another day, but the fact that channels and all these, even Foxtel charges people $10 to have it in HD.
Yes, I know. That's ridiculous.
That's just ridiculous. Every channel should just be in high def. It's the future now. And then, I don't know, I could talk about that for ages, but that's not really sports talk anyway.
Yeah, I think we should move on to cricket now. Yeah.
Big Bash for next season, it has been announced by Cricket Australia Chief James Sutherland that it's going to be extended to late in Feb. So a couple of details there for the Big Bash. So yes, it'll be 14 games per club, up from 10. So basically, all teams will play each other twice. The WBBL season, it'll be eventually brought forward to October, November. BBL obviously won't eat up into the 10-round Sheffield Shield. And yeah, so the Big Bash season will be going on up until late February, so from October until, early March. So the question I've got for you, Tom, is this a good or bad move for the BBL?
Okay, well, I'm under the belief that it's a bad thing. Kevin Peterson, he was against the idea, and I don't agree with KP on a lot of things, but no, I think
you're bringing up the same point that I was going to bring. Mind you, listeners, we have not talked about this.
No.
We have not talked about the point that we're going to bring up, but I think you got the same point as me.
Yes. Yeah, you've got this... I think the novelty of cricket is that it's quite short. It's a succinct season. I mean, once the football's over, it starts November, if we're lucky, and then by the time February comes around, we're getting back into AFL again. So if you're extending the cricket season, it's that novelty is going to wear off, and people are going to get really sick of it, especially if you're playing a game every night, as Channel 10 have been doing. There's also a plan to have the teams playing each other twice. I think that's not a bad idea. Mm. I mean, we see it in most sports. But I think it's just too long, really. I mean, 4 months is too long for cricket.
Yeah, I agree. And to that point that KP was saying, he also mentioned about the fact that international players, the fact that they're not paid as much as per se like your IPL leagues or whatever, the fact that the amount of pay is pretty much perfect for the time frame of the BBL at the moment. So by extending it, it could deter international players.
That's true.
Which I agree totally there with KP. I even think this season was probably a little bit too long. Like, I found myself, I'm a huge cricket fanatic. I love the BBL, but I found myself disinterested for the last maybe two rounds and obviously gained interest again for the final. So I think even this season you could call that, you could even argue that it is a bit long this season. So to extend it by another four games, I think it is a bad move. I see what they're doing. They're pretty much trying to send a message to the AFL saying that February, this is our turf. You don't want to put on the AFLW at this time. You don't want to put the AFLX at this time. Whatever. They're pretty much coming out and saying that AFL, this is our turf. This is our month. It's for cricket. But I just don't think it's going to work at all. I think you bring up another thing for cricket other than Big Bash, because too long is too long. And for a T20 tournament and for interest, I think interest will die down by about round 9, round 10, 4, if it does indeed go ahead, that they do extend it. So that's my thoughts. I think it is too long. So I agree with you there, Tom, also.
Just picking up on your point about the AFLW there, I actually don't think that the women should be playing in February.
Neither.
Because it's not the middle of summer, but it's the end of summer. And, you know, it's not really the conditions to be playing in. I think they'd be better suited to, like, playing, like, September, October, that time of year. Like, when it's slightly cooler and when, you know, I mean, the Premiership League is wrapping up, so... But,
that wouldn't be too bad, actually. Hmm. Yeah. The only thing is, I think it'll be after their seasons. Would they be able to, maybe? Yeah, who knows, yeah.
Yeah, would they be able to maintain that, popularity?
Actually, that we'll make that a question about AFL. So, AFLW... Hmm. Question just on the mark. Should they move the current starting date?
Oh, okay. Put me down as a tentative yes. So, yes, they should definitely consider moving the date.
When?
As I said, probably maybe September, October is probably the best. Like, they've got a bye round now between August and the September final, so that might be a good time to maybe start the season off.
I don't think you could probably start it with finals.
No,
that's the only thing. I see the point in starting it during the bye round, but to have that overlapping with the finals of the men's, I don't think that'll work.
But
I like your original idea, having it after the season, maybe a week after the season, after the NRL grand final also. Maybe have it then.
Yeah, there we are. But
that could work, but yeah, February is just a bit early for me.
Not they shouldn't be playing in summer. That's the long and the short of it.
Yeah. So we both agree there. Sticking with AFL also, bit of AFLX, and obviously that took place this weekend, and it was quite controversial, quite exciting. However you want to put it, will it take over the world in 5 years' time?
I can't see it doing it in 5 years, but
I'll change it. Sorry, that was a bit too early. 10 years' time.
10 years' time. So again, I don't think it has the potential to take over the world, but it certainly has the potential to gain traction and take off. Particularly with newly arrived Australians who are just becoming familiar with our culture and the game and what have you. But I think if they took AFLX as it is now overseas, it could definitely find some interest. I know when they took the 2020 cricket over to America, they hosted in the big stadiums.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, but most of the crowd were like immigrants from the subcontinent, so they're people already familiar with the game. So that could be a way of getting, like, say, Americans into the game. Maybe Aussie expats could bring their, like, Yankee mates along to, you know, say, hey, this is our game, this is how we do it. I mean, because they've got to put up with, like, football and baseball, which are big, long games, sometimes low-scoring affairs, whereas this one, there's a goal every minute. So, yeah, they might take an interest in that.
I do see the potential in AFLX, and obviously I'd love to see the sport, this great game, go global, but I just don't see it happening, unfortunately. I think it's just too late in this modern world. I think, especially like obviously your big markets there in America, they always got the staple sports. They already got it. So America, they always got the NFL, basketball, baseball. If you go to England per se, you obviously got the cricket and soccer and rugby. So I think all these countries have already got their staple sports, and it's even. I think AFLX will become a success, I just think it's going to be very, very, very hard just to get people interested in this game. And it's pretty much just going to be, like, per se, like the cricket who came and watched it. It'll just be people who are familiar with the game already. And it's just going to be pretty hard to break into these world markets, I believe.
Is there a country where you could see it working, though? I mean, I think Ireland has the potential there because they've got Gaelic football.
But Ireland's not... As you can, how can I put this? Ireland's not like huge in terms of like in terms of the world side.
Yeah, that's true.
If we had a big country, say like England or someone that could propel it, even like obviously USA would be the gold mine if we can get them on board. But if we had like a huge country, economic country, like even China per se, that gets behind the sport, that'll obviously boost it. But Ireland will get behind it for sure.
Yeah, maybe they should give Canada a go as well, because at the moment their national sport is lacrosse. Lacrosse. So for those who don't know, that's the one with the stick where you throw the ball. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it as much as everyone else, but I mean
I enjoyed playing that.
Yeah, but it's just such a strange sport. I'm just rambling now. So another thing we wanted to discuss today was Ben Simmons in the NBA. He's hinted that LeBron James of the Cavaliers might sign with the 76ers. That's a Philadelphia team. Ben, you're really big with your basketball. What do you think?
Okay. This hoop about Ben Simmons potentially saying that LeBron may come to the Cavs, to the 76ers, sorry, from the Cavs, came from an Instagram post, which was quite recent. On the post, he had a couple of his Cavs teammates and James. This is Simmons, that is. And the post read, midnight, June 30. And the significance about that date is the date that free agency is open in the NBA and all free agents can sign to whichever club they please. And LeBron obviously will be a free agent come that time. So that is why there's all this rumour about Simmons, LeBron going to 76ers. And this has been talked about pretty much the whole time that LeBron has been out of contract. It has been pretty much the 76ers and the Lakers, which are the two teams that LeBron has been hinted at going at. Do I see him moving to the 76ers? I'm biased here, and I'm not going to hide it. I don't think he will, and I don't want him to come to the 76ers. There's two sides of the argument here. If he comes, obviously it's great for Simmons and all their players. They can learn off such a phenomenal player. Bad thing about that is, though, they're going to lose a lot of the ball. And half of the learning and the majority of the learning in the league is to have the ball and make your own mistakes and learn off it. And Simmons and the whole 76ers team have been quite phenomenal this season in propelling themselves into seventh already in the seed, seventh seed of the Eastern Conference. So I don't think he will go to the 76ers, and I actually see him staying at Cleveland, controversially. If he is going to go, it'll be Los Angeles. But I don't think he will sign with the 76ers. I think at this stage, and the way the Cavs are playing, I think he stays in Cleveland.
Mm.
You, Tom?
Yeah, you've absolutely nailed it there. I mean, he's already moved once to Miami and then back home to the Cavaliers. I mean, to do that again would just be a torture for everyone involved, I would reckon. Yeah, I don't know if I have much more to add to that. So, yeah, LeBron, he stays put. Sorry, Ben.
Sorry, Ben Simmons, that is. Yes. The Comm Games are coming up in Gold Coast on my birthday, I believe it starts on April the 4th. Should we care is the question to you, Tom. Bit blunt there.
Yeah.
Should we care about the Comm Games?
Well, let's put this into the perspective. The Commonwealth Games were originally known as the Empire Games, and they were created by Britain to sort of showcase its might to the other countries within the British Commonwealth. So that is the countries that are or were overseen by the King or Queen of the United Kingdom. These days, we see that Britain doesn't have such a big role to play in the world. I mean, most of these countries, they've either declared independence and become republics, or, you know, they just let, you know, Her Majesty go off and do her own thing. And, you know, these days, I don't know whether it has that gravitas that it once had, especially since it's Australia who actually has the most medals overall. So, the idea was to show the might of Britain, and then, yes, we underdogs took that mantle from them. So, look, I know it's that there's a lot of good Australians who are performing in the games this year, and obviously it's at home on the Gold Coast, so we'll get lots of primetime events. But, I think it's time for the Commonwealth Games to just quietly shuffle away, and it may well do so because... Which city is it? Well, anyway, in South Africa, they're planning on hosting it, and they've failed to meet many of the deadlines to, build their stadiums and host events. So maybe this could well be the last Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, I pretty much cannot add anything extra to what you just said there. It's pretty much spot on. Obviously, England and the United Kingdom were such a powerhouse back in the day, and now it's just obviously died down. A lot of countries going into independence, obviously. But yeah, it's just... There's really no, unless you're hosting it, I guess, unless the country's hosting it. Even so, like, I'm not going to take too much of an interest in the Comm Games. I'm not sure about yourself, but yeah, I don't really see a point in it. You got the Olympics, just leave it at that. And the Comm Games are just something extra that you don't really need.
And there's no Usain Bolt this year, so, you know, we've got no one to
What's
cheer for
point?
In 100 metres. Yeah.
I'm going to be harsh on it. I don't see any point in the Comm Games, unfortunately. Mm. So, yeah. All right, we're going to finish off the podcast with a bit of a general question. So, in light of Roger Federer becoming the oldest world number one in tennis at age 36, and obviously Tom Brady, he's still plying his trade in the National Football League over there in America at 40 years of age, how old is too old?
Well, is it up for us to say, Ben? I mean, we're in our... mid-20s, thereabouts. So, you know, we don't have a lot of life experience compared to these guys. But, you know, there comes a time when you'd have to say to yourself, gee, am I getting too old for this? You know, because your body, it's not built to, you know, do these sports. Mm. You know, it's only built for, like, light activities, walking, maybe cycling even. But to put your body at the pinnacle of human endurance year in, year out, I mean, it will take its toll. So unless they're planning on taking a break, I know that Federer has been quite clever with his breaks. He took time off from the French Open, which, has he won that? I don't think he has.
He won it in about 13 or 12. It was the year Nadal was out.
Yeah, there you go. So he has won it once, but his most dominant surface is grass. So it would make sense for him to take time off. Brady, I'm amazed that he's still playing at 40.
Such a high contact sport as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd suffer a few knocks to the head as well. So, yeah you'd want to watch out there. But So it's really up to the individual. If they think they can still operate at this level, then by all means, go for it. But if you think you're, you know, starting to taper off, wear away, then maybe it's time to say to yourself, you know, maybe we should just, you know, call time, basically.
Yeah. I think we also forgot to mention Brett Harvey. He was actually playing up until he was 38, 37 years of age AFL also. So,
And it was actually North Melbourne that let him go.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't his decision, and he's still playing pretty good local footy there for North Heidelberg. So I think it's purely, like you said, it's based on the individual, and obviously the sport is going to come into it a lot. So tennis, it's still amazing that Federer is still going at 36, because tennis is just such a high octane sport. I mean, many people wouldn't put tennis on par, like, say, with an NFL. And obviously, NFL is more contact, but the agility required for tennis and the amount of pressure that you'd be putting on your joints and your muscles after every game, and especially tournaments, which are pretty much a game every 2 days, and you could be playing for, who knows, up to 5-6 hours. You could be having back-to-back games, which are 2 hours, 3 hours. And it's such an intense sport, and for Fed to be doing that, it is incredible. So, yeah, we cannot be the judge of how old is too old, but it is purely up to the individual, and obviously the sport has a huge say in how old they can play. But yeah, the feats of Fed, obviously Brady and even Boomer, to an extent, is just incredible. So yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that they've been around for so long, you know, it says volumes of their character, really. I mean, you know, we've got the likes of Kyrgios, for example, who, I mean, he's a great player, obviously, but he's not like the affable figures that Brady and Federer are.
Yeah.
So they're sort of like role models for the game, and through generations, really. I mean, there are people who have literally grown up watching Federer. I find that astonishing.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. All right, that pretty much wraps up this week's edition of the Sports Dev podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with yourself, Tom, and hopefully Caleb will come back on board. Don't forget to listen to the Sports Dev, obviously, on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. You can listen to myself and all the other regular Sports Desk hosts. Do give us a like on Facebook at The Sports Desk, and you can also listen to any Sports Desk show, whether it be the live shows or the podcast itself, on your local podcasting app, whether that be through iTunes Podcast or whatever podcasting app you want to do on Android. But nevertheless, Tom, been a pleasure.
Yes, it has indeed. Thank you for inviting me along today, Ben. I enjoyed doing the live show. I enjoy doing this. Yeah, can't wait to see you and Caleb again in 2 weeks.
Should be a good show. And that wraps up the podcast. We've talked nothing but sport, the games which unite the people of the world.